Welcome to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. We're spending the first hour today looking at the musical Cabaret. You can see an upcoming performance at the Washington Pavilion in Sioux Falls. Today, we look at the history of the show and its staging this month by the University of South Dakota Theater Department. We begin with a conversation with veteran Broadway director and choreographer Chet Walker. He spent 10 days in residency at USD conducting workshops and lecturing. He choreographed 8 dances for USD's Cabaret. Chet Walker originally conceived the show Fosse, which won the 1999 Tony Award for Best Musical. In 2013, he received the Outer Critics Circle Award, the Drama Desk Award, the Astaire Award, and a Tony nomination for his choreography of Stephen Schwartz's Pippin. That show garnered 10 Tony nominations, winning 4, including Best Revival of a Musical. His work as a director and choreographer has taken him around the world. Some of his recent shows include A Chorus Line, Follies, Working, Funny Girl, and The Producers. Walker's newest project is the musical Heat Wave, which he will direct and choreograph for Broadway. I spoke with Chet Walker on the phone when he was in Vermilion.
Well, I'm here to choreograph 8 numbers for the production that they're doing at the University of South Dakota. And I have completed that task. And tonight we're going to be able to show all of the designers what we have been up to for the past 10 days. Mm-hmm. I've also taught at the university to different classes, from technical classes to directing classes to the dance classes. So I've had a pretty full time here, and leave tomorrow, and we'll be leaving them with the choreography that they need to do for the musical Cabaret.
Tell us a little bit, for those of us who don't understand exactly how that works. Is that, if I see a production of Cabaret at the University of South Dakota versus the University of Minnesota, is the choreography going to be the same and you're teaching them, exactly?
No.
Okay, does that work?
Yeah. It would be different. Because every choreographer and or director has a different take on what they want to show. The interesting thing about Cabaret, it comes from the Berlin stories, and it also comes from I Am a Camera, two different publications, and then the creators have created this musical back in 1964. So the version that we're doing at the university here in South Dakota is the original version from 1964-65. There is a later version, which was about 1986-87, and then there was one done probably 10 years later, and 1996-97, about that time. So we're doing the original version. So depending on the script that you use, the story is basically the same as they have moved forward in the decades. They've added more from from the movie. They've added some movie elements. Mm-hmm. But no matter where you go to see Cabaret, the story would be the same. The only thing that would be different is maybe concept of how it's presented, and the choreography would always be different depending on the choreographer and the needs of the director.
All right, so where do you begin then as the choreographer to sort of, are you looking to bring a fresh interpretation, or are you looking to say these are the elements that are just essential if you're going to do Cabaret, and then you have different dancers with different abilities? Where do you begin?
Right. Well, you first begin with the storytelling. And so for me, that's kind of my lot in life, is to keep choreography in the musical theater alive and a tool that helps illustrate the story. So I've done Cabaret all over the world. I've also done it here in this country. So and now with this production, I've done all 3 versions of scripts of it. Mm-hmm. So where I start is first listening to the director's concept of what he or she wants to do, and then the choreography basically is something that's, I don't know, it's in my genes, mm-hmm. I guess. So I kind of know what each song should say and how it gets us from the beginning to the middle and where it needs to lead us to go into the next scene. The other thing is that I look at the performers who I have in front of me, and I always feel that it doesn't matter who's in front of me. You can make that work. And in this case, I've looked at, I think there's 17 performers in the ensemble. So I looked at them 10 days ago, saw what they could do, and together we've created what you'll see on April 12th as their production. And I have to say that these young people have worked so hard and maybe out of their comfort zone, but I kind of think that that's a good thing. Yeah. And I think what they will end up doing is an exceptional job.
Are there certain productions you said, you've worked with, you've set cabaret on dancers across the world, really, but are there certain productions that you really enjoy, coming back to that story again and again?
Well, when I've done it in countries that have been occupied, and like Norway and Serbia, and when you do it in those countries that have... that story is very close to them. It's very poignant. And I think here in doing it at a university, I think it's such a timeless story and it is relevant to today that these young people have taken that upon themselves to tell the story quite well. And I never find that I'm disappointed when doing the show. I always find that people who stand in front of me are eager and willing to tell this story. And, the story is the same. How we tell it can be differently to affect what we need for the times in which we live in. And I think if you see this version, you'll see it's very applicable. And in those other countries where they were occupied, if you were to go and see those versions, they hold a great deal in my heart because we're telling their story of something that is incredibly poignant. In this country, when we do this story, you have to just look at where we are in the world and see its relevance.
Yeah. So when you approach young people, young college students from South Dakota, they might have only seen the movie. They might not have seen the movie. How do you begin helping them see the layers of a production like that?
It's explaining the history that was going on in that period of time.
Okay.
I'm big on history, and one of the first things I asked them, had they read the Berlin stories, and have they read I Am a Camera? And, excuse me, for those who didn't, that was a wake-up call to go and do that. I believe that them understanding as much as they possibly can of the period of time and what was going on and getting as much history behind them, it helps make their job, well, one, more interesting and also more poignant. And it also says to them, we are representing a period of time of great and grave importance.
Yeah.
And I think that doesn't matter if you're in a student situation or a professional situation or in a foreign situation. Them meaning all of the participants in the production really need to know the history and why the creators created the show. What was the need? And who were those creators and why would they have done this? And why would they have picked 20 years after the liberation to do it? I mean, I think the more information you can get about the story itself, the period of time, and the creators, it just makes it a really fulfilling experience. And I think that these young people here at the University of South Dakota have done that.
Why was it created at that time frame? Can you give us some insight into that for audience members?
The creators waited a period of time to be able to tell this story. I mean, I think in our country, when we look at when we joined the war, why we joined the war, a lot of us don't understand why we waited. It's poignant. And look back at 1964, 65 in our country, the kind of revolution that was happening. I think it was the creator's intent to show the commonality that we have with our forefathers and mothers and where we are now. And I think our the creative team were so smart in picking this topic, because it would end up, as we would see, you know, 40 years later, 50 years later, still a poignant story. I think good writing and good creation is one for all times, and irrelevant. The story is relevant, and unfortunately, maybe it will keep on being relevant, but I think that the creators were in a period of time of turmoil in our country, and that 1964, 65, of course, that they were writing it in the early 60s, and it created a place in 1964. But we also must remember that the subject matter was still very touchy back in 1964, what had happened 20 years prior. And
how revolutionary was just the, you know, the relationship or the sexual content at that time?
In 1964, it was still... the creators would those who are alive today would tell you it was a touchy matter, bisexuality or possibly homosexuality. It was not a, they took a big leap of faith to put that on the American stage. And that was not an easy task for them. And I also think the Jewish situation and Nazism and all of that, you know, 20 years, that's a generation, only a generation away from the atrocities and what happened. So I think the way that they structured this this play with music and dance, they were very bold. But, you know, in 1964 and 65, people were really speaking out. And so I think it was, in a sense, a crapshoot. You know, we're going for it and see how it played. And it played quite well.
Yeah.
So it just also shows the resilience of people.
Yeah. You, as a choreographer, must, I'm guessing here, I've never done this kind of work, but I'm guessing you have to get your dancers, your performers, to trust you to not only, you know, see what they're capable of, but trust you to help them tell the story and trust you to help them figure out how to take risks as performers as well. How do you build that relationship with dancers to sort of build that trust? Am I on the right track with what that must look like?
Yeah, and you should also, if you can, you should talk to them to see if what I say is true.
Yeah.
Because it is a two-way street. I want to give them as much information as possible. Unfortunately, or fortunately, depending on how you look at it, I've done a lot of stuff in my life, and I've created Broadway shows, and I've worked with some pretty amazing people in my life. So sometimes that is kind of an automatic let's go with him, because he must know what he's talking about.
Sure.
Because he's worked with the creators, he's worked with Mr. Fosse, he's been in this situation before. I think there's a kind of a semi-trust that he knows what he's doing, but I think the way to get them, anybody, to get on your same pages with you is to show them that you have knowledge, that you have a purpose for why you do the things that you do. In the storytelling through dance, we want to evoke the period of time. We want them to have characters. We want them to be individual people working together. I think respect has a lot to do with it, but I also think that part of, I have a great deal of knowledge about the period of time, the creators, how it's moved throughout the decades. So I can speak on any, excuse me, any topic that they might want to come up to me about and do it with respect and just try to give them a foundation for why they would be doing what they're doing and how important they are in the process and how important the story is. So I think maybe the way I've gotten them, hopefully, to trust me is that I have a great deal to say about the process and about the story itself.
Hmm. We'll have more with Broadway choreographer Chet Walker after the break as we look at Cabaret in South Dakota.